You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and today, Moses' cattle boils and hail. You heard that right. Moses' cattle boils and hail. Today, on Words of Encouragement.
We see these plagues continuing. Now we see a Pharaoh who has said, "Nah, he'll work out a deal as best he can." Moses, you know, tell God to stop it. And then he even went, last time we saw, where he went as far as to say, "I'll let him go. Just stop it." Oh, but then he hardened his heart. And he came back and said, "Nah, I'm not letting God's people go." Well, I was thinking about this. I was looking at this, reading through this passage of Scripture. We're hearing what's happening. We're hearing what's happening with Moses. We're hearing what's happening with Pharaoh. We're getting an understanding of where they are and what they feel and what they think. And yet, I am wondering off to the side here, how did the Egyptians feel? I'm sure that there were some, "Oh yes, Pharaoh, that's right. We're going to stand with you. We stand with you. Even all this horrible mess has happened, we stand with you." I'm sure there were some who were like that. But I probably would not have been one of them. I would have said something like, "Hey, come on, can't we stop all this? All you got to do is let these people go and everything will be fine. Pharaoh, get a clue, buddy." I would have been one of those that probably would have sent an email. I would have been scared to death to send it probably to Pharaoh, or send him a little note, a little telegram, a text, a call. I would have been scared to do it, but I would have hoped that I would have made myself known in some way. But I was thinking about that and how did these Egyptians feel? But they looked to Pharaoh as God. They saw him as more powerful than anyone else. And so they seem to be waiting this out. That's what we're gathering. That's what I've gathered here. They seem to be just waiting this whole thing out. It's all going to stop at some point. It has to end at some point here. So I'm picturing the Egyptians just kind of waiting it out. If you are able and willing, I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God from Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible tells us, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me.'" May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. I invite you to be seated this morning. Wow. Very iconic. I say because Moses said it. God said it to Moses, and it's in the Bible, but also for some of us who grew up watching the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston helping it to become iconic as well, or adding to, I don't know if you could add to God, what God has done, but kind of, let's say highlighting this, there we go, highlighting it for us. Well, this is the fifth time that God has sent Moses to Pharaoh. We don't see any evidence of Moses becoming tired, Moses giving up, Moses trying to get out of going. What we see here is an obedient child of God. That's what we see. When we look at Moses, we see one who has, he's in it. He's like, "Okay, let's go. You want me to go do this? You're telling me Pharaoh's going to say no, but you're telling me also to go. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to go." So you see Moses being obedient. You see him going. And then look at verses 2 and 3. "For if you refuse to let them go," this is God telling Moses to tell Pharaoh, "if you refuse to let them go and to continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence upon your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks." So it's made clear that the livestock which are in the field will die. Notice, severe pestilence on your livestock which are in the field. Those are some key words. We're going to come back. Notice the hand of the Lord is mentioned here. Earlier, the finger of God was mentioned last week. But now the hand of the Lord is mentioned here. They saw the gnats and the lice that the magician saw that Pharaoh has, and they said, "Oh, we can't replicate that. It's the finger of God. Well, now the hand of God. They seem to understand something. Someone is higher than they are. Someone is higher than Pharaoh. The magicians are beginning to get some kind of clue here. I wouldn't say they're all-out believers, but they're having some idea that there is someone more powerful. More powerful than them, for sure, for certain. If there are a few facts that you need to know here. Animals, now listen to this, animals were mummified in the thousands to appease the gods and seek their favor. The object of worship was not the animals themselves, but the gods that took on their forms. Animals acted as a kind of messenger between the people and the gods. Whether as deities, pets, symbols of fertility, or objects of fear, protection, and luck, animals played a significant role in both the royal and non-royal life in ancient Egypt. And they featured heavily in everyday life, everyday religious activities as well. And that, combined with the inability of Pharaoh to stop the plague, made this situation harder to deal with because the livestock were going to be killed. This is not good at all for the Egyptians. This plague was some sort of infectious disease that spread from animal to animal. I don't know if you remember, there was a... I don't know if you remember this episode of Little House on the Prairie where there was a... They had a common barn in town of some kind, and I don't quite remember what was in the barn, but it affected everybody. Everybody came to that barn and got some of what was in it. And everybody was getting sick. And it was a big concern. Doc Baker trying to figure it out. And they found out what was going on. And there were rats that had a disease that were in the barn. And they had to burn the whole barn and everything they had in it. But this infectious disease, now that's concerning when your animals that you're going to eat and you're going to sacrifice, and you're going to sacrifice. The Egyptians weren't going to sacrifice the animals. They looked up to them. But they had such high regard for animals. And so here they are, they're going to die. This is not good at all for them. Look at verse 4. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. Here again we see God separating his people out and the effects of this plague on the livestock, separating Israel's livestock from the Egyptians' livestock. So he is again saying, my people, these are my people. I am the Lord. That's what God is saying. And he's trying to make it very clear to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh. So he protects his people from the last plagues. He sets them apart, and he set himself apart. God then tells them tomorrow he will do this thing in the land. Interesting point to make here. Those who are right with God do not need to worry about tomorrow. But those who are not right with God have every right to be concerned. Interesting. I know not what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I know who's in charge. But if you don't know the one in charge, you're going to worry about tomorrow. You're going to worry about a lot of things that you really don't need to spend time worrying about, because if you knew God, you know he holds it all in his hand. Sure enough, the next day came and all of the livestock of Egypt died, but none of the livestock of the people of God died. Pharaoh sends for a word on the situation, and he finds out that not even one of the livestock of Israel is dead. Now, do you think that fired him up? Do you think that angered him? Do you think maybe that he saw and got a clue? And that he decided, oh my goodness, well, here it is. God is the Lord. It's the God of the Israelites. He is the one. Oh boy, I'm turning my life over to the God of Israel. You think it makes him to sit up and to take notice? No. The last part, or the second part of verse 7, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened and he did not let the people go. At this point, you would think that a person would cry out to God and believe in him for help. These animals were such a prominent prominent fixture of their everyday lives, and now almost all of them are gone. They've almost lost every animal, all of the livestock. And it's like, oh no, wait, what a blow. How many of you have ever raised cattle or raised any kind of livestock? I'm raising my hand to show you what to do. That's not me. Okay, you know that. All right. My goodness, to think that some of them would, you would lose some of them. That's tough. I think I'd be turning to the Lord saying, oh God, help me. What's going on? I believe in you. Please help. But there, the truth is, some people will not cry out and believe in God even when a prominent part of their daily life is lost. Some people will not cry out to God even when a prominent part of their life is lost, is gone. Still won't call on the name of the Lord. Still refuse to believe. Wow, that's hard to handle. It's hard for me to stomach. It's hard for me to think that after going through something like that, someone wouldn't say, hey, God, if you're there, I need you. I don't understand it. But it's the truth. Some people will not believe. Second thing we see, God gives Pharaoh another opportunity. Now, my goodness, God. You know, some of us have this picture of God that he just, one time you messed up, well, boom, I'm going to zap you. That's it. I mean, some of us have this idea that we have a God who's just hanging over us and angry and ready to, just waiting to punish us when we mess up. That's not our God. Our God is a God who loves us. He is a God who wants us to do what is right, yes. He is a God who is upset when we sin. But he's not ready to zap us off the face of the earth. God is a God of a second chance. Sometimes a third, a fourth, a fifth. He knows us. He loves us. He longs for us to follow him. So therefore, he gives us opportunities to follow him. He also gives us a brain. And when he gave us freedom of choice, he knew that sometimes we would choose other than him. He understands. Does he like it? No. But does he understand? You better believe it. You better believe it. He understands. Look at verses 8 through 10. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a kiln and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. Interesting. It will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt. And will become boils, oh boy, boils breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from a kiln and stood before Pharaoh. Notice, where'd they do this? In front of Pharaoh. They're standing right there, and they do this right in front of him. And it says, Moses threw it toward the sky, and it became boils breaking out. How many times does the word for boil appear in the Old Testament? 13 times. Interesting. They may occur on man and are possibly leprous. And in Egypt, they appear on both man and beast. Did you catch? He did this right in front of Pharaoh. You want a bold witness for the Lord? You want somebody that's bold? Look at Moses here. Whoa, right in front of Pharaoh. Throws it up in the air. Ooh, still, my goodness. Look at verses 11 and 12. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Still, even watching all of these boils break out on man and beast, Pharaoh does not listen. Now notice, God did it this time. All these times, Pharaoh had a hard heart, not going to believe, not going to believe. God said, you know what? I know you're not. I'm going to harden your heart here. You're not going to turn to me. You're just not. I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. You're not going to do it. I see your heart. I know your heart. I'm hardening it even more here. This is a huge deal. Their health is attacked, and there's no opening to the possibility that God is real. I dare say most people, at least in the South, will cry out to God when their health is. Amen. When that doctor tells you you have some kind of issue, some kind of disease, some kind of problem, what do? I tell you now, you call out to God. I know you do. Because that's a shock. And you're asking God for help. There's something inside of us that tells us that there is someone bigger than us who's in charge. It's the Holy Spirit at work. It's what it is. Pharaoh is not like most people in the South, though. Pharaoh was raised differently. He is unwilling to accept even the idea that there's somebody bigger than him, somebody who's more powerful than him. There are people like that in this world. Even when faced with danger to their health, they refuse to believe. I've heard several stories about from pastors who have gone to someone in the hospital and things are looking very bleak, and they have almost begged the person, you need Jesus. What's preventing you from accepting Christ as your Savior? Well, I just don't believe. I don't believe. And I've heard pastors who have talked with people in the hospital who just refuse, even sometimes to their deaths. And that hurts. Hurts my heart to think. But some people are like that. Some people will refuse. Many will refuse to believe because of their lack of understanding of who God is. Some feel as if there is a God, then he would never allow us to be harmed. He would never allow us to get sick because he's a God of love. And some people have that in their heads, that that's who God is, if there is a God. Because if he really is God and he really loves us, he'd let us sit here and live forever. In spite of our sin. Well, now I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about a God here. No, sin has to be discussed as well. Because we're human beings and that's what we do. We sin and we're in need of repentance. We're in need of forgiveness. We're in need of a God who can do that for us. But there are some people who believe, well, if there really is a God, he wouldn't send us to hell. And let me say again, God doesn't send anybody to hell. He allows those to go who refuse him. He allows those to go who refuse him. You refuse him. You say you don't believe in him. You say you don't want that. You don't need that salvation stuff, that Jesus stuff. Well, then you're on your way. You're on your way, not to heaven, but you're on your way to hell. I don't like that, but that's the way it is. But we have a God who's provided the way to heaven. We have a God who loves us, who sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. He took upon him our sin. And he made it possible for us to be forgiven. And so all God does is say, hey, I want to forgive you. Will you let me? I'm calling to you. I'm asking you. I'm handing you salvation. Will you accept it? Here it is. Believe. But there are people who just think, well, no, you know, there's people still getting sick. There's evil in the world. So I don't think some people will not cry out and believe in God even when their health is attacked, even when their own health is attacked. The last thing we see, God sends another plague. Look at verses 13 through 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Again, what's God trying to say? I'm God. I'm the one. The God of the Hebrews. I am the God. Capital T, capital G. It's me. I want you to know. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still, you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Still, you do this. I would think that would be difficult for Pharaoh to hear. I am God. You're not. I'm God. You're not. He is God. I am not. He is God. You are not. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful your pastor's not God. Because he's got some hiccups. And he's got some flaws. And you want a perfect God. And you need a perfect God. The word used here that is translated as plague in verse 14. For this time I will send all my plagues. It means a blow, a slaughter, a plague, or a pestilence. It's only used this way. It's used once in this way in the book of Exodus, and it's right here in verse 14. God is using this plague to show that there's no one like him in all the earth. Now, my goodness, after all these plagues, wouldn't you just think that some people, some of those Egyptians would have said, I believe, I believe. You would think that they would go ahead and say, yes, but some will never believe. All that they've been through, some will still never believe. Look at verse 18. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as not has been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Whoa. God has set this time as being tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. No need to fear tomorrow, though, if you're one of God's children. But if you're not, then you need to be concerned. Hailstorms were quite rare in Egypt, so this is something out of the norm for them. Look at verses 19 through 21. Now, therefore, send. Bring your livestock. Wait a minute, livestock? I thought they lost their livestock. Notice, remember what I said? The livestock in the fields. Those are the ones that died early on. These were stabled. These were covered. These were in another place. So now, therefore, send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home, when the hail comes down on them, will die. Every man and beast that is found in the field will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. Aha! There were some who got a clue. There were some who realized, wait a minute, I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to do what Moses is saying here. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to do this. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord, there were some who did not pay any attention to this, left his servants and his livestock in the field. So God tells Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that the hail may fall down on the land of Egypt, on man and beast, on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Notice that this hail will hit every plant in the field. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Every plant? We got our livestock and the plants? Oh, and the crops? Oh, this is not good. Moses stretches his staff toward the key, toward the sky, and the Lord sends thunder and hail, and fire runs down to the earth. Hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail. It was severe, had never been so bad. Look at verses 25 and 26. The hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. Oh, goodness. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Wow. Now, some of us can believe that. Because sometimes it's a big rainstorm. Ravel gets hit hard with all this rain, and we just didn't get a drop. And we can see how that can happen, but this is an act of God. This is what God has done, and God has said it. Wow. Well, what happens to Pharaoh? What's on his mind? Did the storm get his attention? All the flashing, the lightning, and the fire coming down. Did it get his attention? Did he change his mind? It would have changed mine, I think. Look at verses 27 through 29. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. Oh, hallelujah! I have sinned this time, the Pharaoh says. The Lord is the righteous one. Oh, man! And I and my people are the wicked ones. Oh, man, let's have a heyday. Let's get excited. It seems like Pharaoh has got a clue. Oh, look at this. Amazing. We're going to sit right there and rejoice a little bit here. He goes on to say, make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. Enough of this. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Oh. Are you glad to hear that news? I'm glad to hear that news. It is about time. Some of you are looking at me thinking, yeah, but I've read a little further, I know. Wow. But my goodness, it sounds so good. It sounds like Pharaoh's got a clue. It sounds like, oh, this is great. What a wonderful thing that is happening here. Look at verse 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back up to 29. Moses said to him, and as soon as I get out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease. There will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Moses is excited, it seems. He goes out, and then he says, but as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. Not pulling it over on Moses. Not going to run anything past Moses. Sounds good. A lot of words are great. But Moses knows this isn't true. He has heard the voice of God. God said Pharaoh will not let them go. And so Moses knows that's the truth. Look at verses 31 and 32. Now the flax and the barley were ruined. Ah, there's the crops. Were ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripen late. They happen later on. But their food source, clothing sources, ruined here. Moses goes and does what he said he would do. He spreads out his hand to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail cease, and the rain stops. Sure enough, Moses knew Pharaoh was lying. Look at verses 34 and 35. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. So it's a no-go for the people of God. They have to stay. How stubborn can a person be? When it comes to believing in God, how stubborn can a person be? Well, evidently, beyond what many of us can believe. What about you? Do you believe that God exists? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe what He did through His Son, Jesus? Do you believe that He cares about you? Some people will not cry out and believe in God, even when a prominent part of their society or daily life is lost. Some people will not cry out and believe in God, even when their health is attacked. Some people will not cry out and believe in God, even when their food and clothing sources have gone. How stubborn can you be? How far can you go? How long will you tarry not believing in the Lord? What's it going to take? What's it going to take for some people to believe? I can suggest to you that you can have a huge impact in their life. They watch you live. They watch you trying to be as fair as you can be. They watch you forgiving people. They watch you loving people. They watch you helping people. They watch you sacrificing your time for people that some people would say, that's a waste. They see you living your life and they say, there is something about this person. There is something about this person that is different, and you have an opportunity to share why you're different. And you can make a huge impact. Listen, this world needs to see Christians living Christian lives. This world needs to see Christians loving each other and others unlike themselves. This world needs to see it. And it needs to see more of it. Because evidently, the world has not seen enough of it. Because we're getting, yes, we're going to suffer in the latter days and all that. But there are people who don't want anything to do with Christians. And that breaks my heart because of how they've seen some Christians live. Let me beg of you today, let people see God's love in your heart. Do not let anyone be able to say of you, well, if that's what a Christian's like, I don't want God. I know you can't control everything people say or think, but consistently living before others a life that is pleasing to the Lord, consistently sharing why you live that way, makes a big difference in people's lives.
It certainly does. It certainly does make a difference. Thank you for joining us for Words of Encouragement. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can always go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. And we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through that website. Or if you're in the area, please just give us a call, 318-435-4359. We're located in Winsboro, Louisiana, which is, well, I like to tell people it's south of Rayville. And Rayville is, or Rayville is east of Monroe. So some of you may know Monroe or West Monroe, the Duck Dynasty Robertson family up there. But we're just about 45 minutes southeast of them. But come see us. Come see us and keep listening to Words of Encouragement.